Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast. Colt Molesky here, and we have, not over the phone, not calling in, he's here live, Seth Toeffel.
We'll do it live.
Yes, we're doing it live. He is in-house. We've been celebrating the Timberwolves' successes throughout the weekend as you've been over. Gosh damn.
So we've been celebrating their successes, and so I got here and I kind of put my stuff away, and we celebrated for 5 minutes, and then we were
we had one of those little things where you pull the string and it pops out just a little confetti, and that was it.
And you're like,
that
was okay, it. Now what? Do we
do? So we're going to talk about the Rockets game that the Timberwolves had yesterday. And we have a little fun segment that we're going to bring to you to celebrate March Madness. We're also going to talk a little bit about gambling, all that coming up around the corner. But first, let's talk about this Rockets game. Goodness gracious, they were down by as many as what was it, like 20, 25, 24 points is the biggest lead for the Rockets. And they had a 43-point third quarter. After only being down by one to go in the half, a 43-point third quarter. What is it about the Rockets that the Timberwolves just want to give up huge quarters?
It's fascinating. I mean, we saw in the playoffs a couple years ago, they had the 50-point third quarter in, I believe, the elimination game of the series, and yep. Now they have 43 here. This is just about as bad of a matchup for this Timberwolves team as they could possibly have, because It's been different since Ryan Saunders took over, but when Tom Thibodeau was running the ship, this was such a team that was predicated on scoring inside, mid-range twos, and they just were not really that good at defending the three-point line. And Houston's like, we're not going to take anything other than threes. And so it's a problem for the Wolves and the players that they have to be able to guard that. Plus, you get a guy like Clint Capella, who has had some success against Karl-Anthony Towns. Although, that matchup is starting to become a little more even over the past few matchups. Capella really dominated that the first few times that they matched up. But I think the thing that's so fascinating is that James Harden really did not have that good of a game. And yet, they just destroyed the Wolves from the perimeter. I mean, you've got Chris Paul, who goes 6 of 7. Eric Gordon hits a few. PJ Tucker. All these role players that we have known so much about over the past couple of years, they just continue to do their thing. And Daniel House. I mean, they're not even guarding him. So he says, okay, I'll pull one. And he hits one from a ways behind the line. It's like, come on. There's such a thing as, even if you give up a shot to your opponent, if you at least make it look like you care defensively.
Make it look like you tried.
It makes it a lot easier to handle than if you have three Wolves inside the three-point line and they kick the ball out to House, and even though he's not a particularly good three-point shooter, he still did knock down a couple. But to not even try to close out and just to say, if he shoots it, we'll give it to him. It's like, that you're basically conceding at that point that you don't even want to try. And I think that's the biggest problem, is that this Wolves team, it doesn't seem like they want to try to play defense.
Well, that's one of those things too, is that Daniel House is one of those guys they brought in because he's a 3-and-D guy, and one of the guys they brought in late over the season, he's a 3-and-D guy and making contributions. I would like to point out too, Harden, he only shot 33% in this game, only had 20 points, which is by his standards a quiet night, but he did post up 10 assists. A big night just passing the ball around for him, playing really well off Clint Capella. You see the Timberwolves, the really high pick and roll offense when you have a combo guard and a big. doing the pick and roll stuff really high at the top of the key, it really flummoxes their offense. Because you have them playing with them close, but then when Houston really hit their stride in that third quarter, they just end up, nobody really plays over, and they don't have a bunch of guys that play extremely over to really cover up those defensive maybe mismatches or miscues. So then when you have them having to choose, oh, do I want Clint Capela to be open, or because we're gonna, for some reason we have to get caught up in this pick that he's gonna set, so then when he rolls to the basket we're both gonna be at the three-point line, or we're both gonna be rolling with him and Harden's gonna be alone. But there's not a reason. I mean, even if for some reason you both get caught up in that pick, somebody has to run over and play over. Give your defense a chance. Have somebody help that open gap, and then have somebody at the top of the key roll over to that guy's man. Something has to be done in the scheme or in how somebody's breaking down the film for these guys where they're seeing this stuff, and instead of just being caught in this middle no man's land, they're either playing 100% one way or another, and then you have somebody else helping.
Yeah.
That said, why two guys consistently get caught up in that pick and can't recover, I have no idea.
It's for all of the all the success that Houston has had with Mike D'Antoni running the ship, they play it brilliantly, because you're running an offense that basically is, I don't want to say simple. I don't want to make it sound like I'm dissing what the Rockets are doing. But they play a style of offense that you would think would be easy to defend, but yet teams struggle with it so much, because it's like, well, we're gonna try to keep Harden out of the lane, and then he ends up getting a ton of assists because he's kicking it out to guys in the corner who are just ready to shoot, and they knock him down. I think the most success we've seen is when people have tried to, you know, ball pressure him, maybe with a trap or something right when he gets across half court, so that he can't get set with Capela on that pick and roll. But teams don't really do that often too, because if you have two defenders that far from the basket, then you've got a mismatch somewhere, and Harden just will find a way to get out of it and make the pass, and then you're beat there too. So it's frustrating, but it would be nice to say that the Timberwolves struggled, and it'd be nice to say, well, Houston just, they made a lot of shots. The Wolves did a good job defending them, and Houston just made the shots, but it seems like it's like they're basically just giving them opportunities, and some of that defense in that third quarter was just nightmarish.
Well, and the Timberwolves, to be fair, did play them really well in that first half. They were carried basically by Towns and Wiggins the entire way.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say what you want about injuries, but this was just a kind of a crappy game from the Timberwolves. I mean, you have Tyus Jones, 29 minutes. He puts up 0 points, and he only has 3 assists in this one. Josh Okogie had his probably best game of the season with 21 points, but Saric, another dud from him, 8 points. He only ended up taking 7 shots. I mean, you didn't have a bunch of guys get to the free. They noted early on that the free throw line was big because they didn't let James Harden get to the free throw line. He ended up taking no free throw shots, which is big. But you had the Timberwolves go 16 for 23, shoot 69% nice from the free throw line. And so you end up doing a good job on one end, and then when you're getting some free throws, when you're getting some extra opportunities to make up some points, perfect example, Tyus Jones missed 2 free throws at the end of the half, and then Iman Shumpert goes down, hits a 3, they take a 1-point lead at the half. That's just, I think, the epitome of the Timberwolves season, yeah. Even when they get success against good teams.
Well, and it seems like every time they've played Houston, it's taken like a perfect game from them to even have a little bit of a lead, and then they play the perfect first half, and then Houston makes some adjustments, and they start to get some transition baskets, and that's, I think, why we see that third quarter be such a problem when going up against the Rockets, is because as long as they continue to put up the same volume of shots, they're eventually going to make them, and it just so happens to be in the third quarter basically every time. But it's, I don't know, it's frustrating, and it gets to the point where you continue to see the same problems from this team in pretty much every game, that they are well behind the eight ball in terms of having all of their players available. And so that just creates some games where they're, you know, they're behind it from the start, and it's just hard for them to overcome some of that.
Well, it's a loss, and so you need those losses to get this draft pick, and you need these you need those losses. People calling me, oh my goodness, you need these losses to help get hopefully Cam Reddish or something like that. If I'm allowed to dream a little bit, we're gonna take a break for some sponsors, and then we're gonna get back into. We're gonna talk about the NCAA tournament a little bit. First, some sponsors. First weekend of the NCAA tournament is the greatest betting event of the year. Whether you like filling out a bracket, picking a national champion, predicting first-round upsets, or all of the above, MyBookie is the perfect home for your March Madness fun. Will Zion Williamson and his teammates cement their legacy at Duke with a title? Can Virginia get past its loss to a 16 seed last year? And can Kentucky get back to the Final Four? If you know the answers, or even if you don't, MyBookie is the place to get in on the action. They have something for everyone, even you, multiple bracket guy. Nobody likes that guy. Nobody likes that guy. MyBookie has been in the business for years. Their goal is to give you the best customer service in the business. And the best part is they pay out fast when you win. I'm talking 48 hours, people. Bet with the best, then kick back and enjoy March Madness while you watch your picks cash. Deposit with MyBookie today with promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% signing bonus. That's promo code LOCKEDON. With MyBookie, you pay, you win, you get paid. And on the heels of that, I would just like to ask you, Seth, your bet of the week, Minnesota versus Golden State. Whatever the spread is for this game, are you betting Golden State's spread?
Yes.
Oof.
Just because this is an area where this team just it does not match up well. Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant. And you run into that problem with pretty much every team. They can't match up against those guys, but especially with the likes of Jeff Teague, Derrick Rose out, those three spots are just going to be too much of a problem for the Wolves. And I would say I'd put it at about 20, 25, 30-point win for Golden State.
Well, and I'm not sure I would have more confidence if Derrick Rose was in this game, if they could throw out a few guards, if they could play small ball or have some more versatility. But here's the other thing is throughout, and I know Tyus has had some injury too, but throughout this entire season, and this really isn't a bet, I bet with you, by the way, on the Warriors, but throughout this entire season, there's been so many opportunities for Tyus to cement himself as kind of the next point guard for the next this next leg of this Timberwolves legacy and this Towns Wiggins journey, and he just hasn't. He's had flashes, but he just hasn't been a consistent offensive presence on this team. Despite how good he is with the turnover to assist ratio, despite how good he is around the ball on defense, just getting some steals, making sure he's careful with the ball, he still hasn't built confidence that he can be the starting point guard for me.
Yeah, that was what we were hoping we would see was his offensive game take that next step, because I don't think there's any question that he does a lot of things really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
He's great at getting steals, and he's great at getting everybody involved in the offense. But if he could develop any sort of a jump shot, a consistent jump shot, and be able to hit shots from deep, then yeah, he'd be a perfect fit, but just haven't seen it.
Disappointing. All right, we're going to take another break for some sponsors, then we're going to talk about the NCAA tournament. Colt Molesky, Seth Tobel of The Scoop, and we are talking, we've been talking about the Rockets game, we've been doing a little gambling with MyBookie, and now we're going to be talking about March Madness. It's right around the corner. Selection Sunday has already gone down. This week, the tournament starts, and I wanted to ask you, looking back at some of these Timberwolves when they played in college, which was your favorite guy to watch in college? Which was your number one dude if you had to look? I mean, we have a great roster of guys here. Towns with Kentucky, and they had the perfect season going in. Mm-hmm. You have Kansas and Wiggins with Joel Embiid and that team that was supposed to just serve up every team on a platter. You have Tyus Jones winning the championship with Duke. You have USC and Taj Gibson. You have the Ohio State Big Ten Player of the Year with Keita Bates-Jopp going into the tournament. I mean, you have Memphis and Derrick Rose. There's been some pretty solid March Madnesses for this Timberwolves team.
I have one clear cut, and then I will give you an honorable mention as well.
Love it.
Tyus Jones with Duke. That's going to be my top choice just because of those shots that he hit in big games. And I mean, you'll have no bigger shot than the ones that he had in the national title game. So Tyus definitely far and away the top choice for me, but Gorgui Dieng at Louisville was sweet to watch.
That's a good one.
That was when people started to take notice of his jumper, the elongated jumper that just was lethal. So Gorgui would definitely be my runner up.
I think that we're going to have some fans get mad at us because neither one of us is going to have Kentucky and Karl Anthony Towns. I love Derrick Rose, and I liked him at Memphis. My honorable mention is Kansas and Wiggins, because I tell you what, I was watching all the high school highlights of Wiggins in Canada, and I was getting super pumped for this team, the two foreigners on the team for Kansas, and these two funky characteristics mashing up on Kansas, and I really loved watching them throughout the season. I really loved, even though they were kind of disappointing in March Madness, I really loved watching them in the tournament. And this is why it took me so long to bail on Wiggins here, but I loved Wiggins leading up to that draft. Every single leg of the way leading up to the draft, Wiggins was my guy. I was watching everything. And so he has to be my honorable mention. But let me throw this one out to you. Jared Terrell on this team, he's kind of buried, but he beat Trae Young and the Oklahoma Sooners on Rhode Island. The Rhode Island Rams beat Trae Young in overtime.
Wow.
In the March Madness. I'm throwing it back. And I'm pulling up. This is one of the upsets that I had on my bracket a few years ago. I'm pulling this one out. I really like Jared Terrell. I really like how I think in like 2 years he's going to be like the more swole version and the more defensively impressive version of what Jamal Crawford was last year on the Timberwolves. But that was a fantastic game. And having Trae Young ousted early in the tournament was pretty funny as well. And that's my guy. That was probably one of my favorite performances in the tournament. He had Trae Young putting up 28. Still couldn't get past the funky shooting guard combo guard. Just like they had three like shooting guard combo guards on that Rhode Island team. They were really a funky group, and that was my favorite performance. This is the highlight player I want for March Madness from the Timberwolves squad.
And member of the all-tournament name team that year, I'm sure, Stanford Robinson. Who knows?
Exactly. There you go.
I could not tell you a single other thing about Stanford Robinson other than that's his name.
we're hitting all the squares, and we're circling everything that we need to here on the show. We're nailing every peg.
Dot those boxes.
Exactly. Well, that's it for us here. Seth, thank you so much for joining the show. Hey, make sure you're checking out The Scoop, people, because you know that there's more sports that happen in Minnesota than just the Timberwolves. I know that usually I would like you to just listen to the Timberwolves podcast, but this is my one exception. You can also listen to The Scoop. You can also check out Seth's work. He's got great guests on all the time on that show. And I believe you just had a really good show covering what's been happening in the NFL, the madness of free agency.
Yes, sir. Connor Rogers of Bleacher Report joined last week to take a look at the NFL Combine and just some of the early hits in free agency. And since he covers the New York Jets, of course, had to ask him about his thoughts on Anthony Barr not signing there. little
salt in the wound.
Little bit, but he took it in stride. So, yeah, that was a great interview. And, yeah, we've got plenty going on with the NCAA tournament, too.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean, Aliko Carter, the Locked On Timberwolves Oakland correspondent, is a former Bleacher Report guy. So we love the Bleacher Report people on the show. And make sure you're going and checking out that Scoop podcast. Thank you, as always, for tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.